as you make your way back to your seats. You see, time is one of the most important concepts in this known world. Time doesn't stop and it never slows down. Time is constantly moving forward and never allowing us to stop, never allowing anyone or anything to take a pause or a break or escape from the beauty and the tragedy of time. You see, history's greatest minds have tried to understand time. They've tried to explain time. They tried to control time. But at the end of the day, time still stands as a mystery to all. Ecclesiastes 3:11 states, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." Another translation says, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." We've been told that time heals all things, but at the same time, physical laws tell us that in time, when left alone, everything decays and turns to chaos. And though we are trapped in time, constantly moving forward, constantly going from one moment to the next, it is important to understand that this time that we have on earth is a gift from God. It is a blessing that's been given to us. And the more time that we spend, the more time becomes so valuable to us, the time left that we have. You see, there is a paradox. There's a philosopher named Theseus, and he had a paradox. It was called the Ship of Theseus. This philosopher, Theseus, he took a group of philosophers and sat them around and said, "Hey, look at this boat. If I changed an oar on this boat, would that boat remain the same or would it be different?" And the group was split in half. Some said it would be a different boat altogether. The other group said that it's still the same boat, just, you know, has a different oar. John Locke proposed a similar question. He said, "If I had a favorite sock and it develops a hole, and I replace that hole or patch it up with a patch, would that sock still be my favorite sock?" Then he said, "What if there was another hole with two patches? How about a third? What if the sock was just completely patched up with no remnants of the initial sock to begin with? Would it still be the same sock or would it be a different sock altogether?" In the same vein of thinking for you and I, am I the same person that I was 10 years ago? Are you the same person that you were 15 years ago, 5 years ago? There's been a lot of things that's been added to our lives through time, and there's been a lot of things that's been taken away through life experience. And the question is, how about 1 year ago? Am I still the same person I was a year ago? How about an hour ago? How about a minute ago? Are you the same person that you were when I first started this question? You see, we're constantly changing in our lives, and one moment in time is completely different from the moment following it. Every single moment, there's a new cell added or taken away. There's new hair on our heads. Some things are changing in our lives, and we have to accept the fact that every given moment is different in God's eyes. You see, you and I, we change, we grow, we decay. And I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. And I hope to God I'm not the same person I am in 5 years' time. And every moment of existence adds something to who we are. You're not the same person that you were when you woke up, because now you're in the house of God. And that changes things. I've had conversations with childhood friends of like, "Man, do you remember 10 years ago? Do you remember 15 years ago? Where we once were, who we once were. If only we knew where we would be, and if only I could give that person, that version of myself, some advice." You see, I grow, God doesn't. I change, God doesn't. Now, that might just make some sense to some people, but when you actually begin to think about it, it can change the way we move in this world. You see, we serve the same God. In scripture, God is defined as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It doesn't say that he's at the beginning The word of God says that he is the beginning. And it doesn't say he's at the end. He is the end. You see, God is the beginning of all things, and he is the end of all things. God resides out of the confines of time, and we're stuck moving forward, never being able to pause time, never being able to stop and really look around in a moment. All we can do is continually move forward. But God, the Lord of hosts, the Savior of this world, lives outside of that. He watches time. So they put a picture up behind me. This is a really cool graphic. Somebody made a timeline of the Word of God. And so at 12 o'clock, you have Adam and Eve, and all the way to 9 o'clock, you see the end of the Bible there. And it has world history worked through biblical points of history as well. And so you can see how things line up in time. But this is just the timeline of the Bible. And this is just an example of what I'm trying to point at. You see, what God does is he can look at the timeline of everything in existence. God does not reside in time because God created time. There was no time until God decided to create time. And so God is able to look at something like this, but the human existence from beginning to end, the universe's existence from beginning to end, and he can look at it like a map and just say, hey, point out there, point right in the middle. He can see it all play out all at the same time. You see, I just imagine God standing in front of a timeline, and he's watching the world grow, and he's watching the world decay, and he sees everything all at once, and he's watching Adam walk in the forest alone, and he's watching Moses step on dry ground on a dry riverbed, and he's watching himself robed in flesh as a child playing with his cousins. God sees it all at the same time. And at the same time as all of that, he's watching you and I right now. He's observing us. But deeper than just looking at everything. You see, God's also living everything out at the same time. You see, right now, from God's perspective, the omnipresent way of God, the perspective of God, he sees it and he lives it as well. Right now, he's presently walking with Adam in the forest. Right now, he's presently holding back the Red Sea. Right now, he's presently playing with his cousins as a child. And right now, he's presently sitting next to you and I in this room. You see, when God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, Moses asked, "Who are you?" And God replied, "I am that I am." He wasn't, and he's not gonna be. He just is. God is omnipotent, can do all things, omniscient, knows all things, and omnipresent everywhere at the same time, and all times at the same time. Now, this is so powerful when you begin to really dig deep into how this affects the way you and I pray, the way we can enter into the throne room of God, because this means what was a past moment to me is a present tense moment to God. This means that what's a future moment for me is a present tense moment for God. He is not the Alpha, then the Omega. He is Alpha and Omega and every single thing in between. But understanding that God doesn't change, even if I do, is so, so vitally powerful. Because this means that when I pray right now, I'm not just praying to a God that exists in this moment. I'm praying to a God that exists before I was born. And I'm praying to a God that's existing far beyond after I die. And that's so powerful because this means that when I step into the throne room of God, where time doesn't exist, I'm asking God to do things that are beyond a present moment point in time. God can start to work things out in the past based on what I'm asking for him right now. And God can begin to work things out in the future based on what I'm asking for him right now. That's the power of praying to an omnipresent God. You see, I'm limited to see what's behind me. But the truth of the matter is, when I worship God today, I'm not just worshiping Him for what happened. I'm worshiping Him for what's going to happen in my life. The truth of the matter is, if God is the same God that stood beside me on my bedside when I prayed for the first time in so many years and I just said, God, break me out of this addiction and I'll never go back. If that's the same God that I'm dancing for today, what if the way I worship today is actually what caused God to break my addiction 10 years ago? What if the reason God said, I'm going to break this curse is because of how you dance today, how you pray today? What if my worship right now can change some things 10 years time and I don't even know it? I don't even see it, but God sees it and He's taking notice of how you worship right now. In Jesus' name. You see, I truly believe that the way we pray every single moment we get a chance to pray, the way we pray legitimately reaches into the future and changes some things. We don't even know it. You don't even know the next season of your life, but I promise you, the same God you pray today is standing right next to you during the hardest moments of your life when you've only got a sliver of hope. And He's saying, but I remember the way you danced in my presence. I still remember that. I'm standing right there. Oh, Jesus. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, when you pray, you don't even know what you're praying for, but God's working some things out in your life. Jesus' name. Don't discount the power of your prayer. Don't do it. You see, Pastor says this, and I love it. If God's not able to change everything in your life in a moment, we need to remove the word suddenly from the Bible. Just erase it completely. But I've seen it in my own life and I've seen it in others. God has the ability to take an individual based off of their worship, based off of their steps of faith, and say, I'm changing your life in a moment. You tried to break this thing for 10 years. I'm breaking it right now. You tried to fight this thing on your own for too long, but I can break it right now. You've been praying for a miracle for I don't even know how long, but God's saying, I can break it right now. Luke 2, 11 and 14. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. In Acts 16, it goes on, and it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and the shackles were loosened. In Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. God can do things suddenly that completely change eternity. God can take a moment and change eternity in a moment. You see, there's so much power in a moment, not because of what we do, not because of what we say, but because who we're praying to. You see, in a moment, God contains miraculous potential. In a moment, God contains salvation. In a moment, God contains healing. And in a moment, God can break the yoke. We need to accept this simple truth that in a moment, God can change everything. What I learned too as well, for the longest time, it's not that I didn't believe God could change everything in a moment. I had a hard time believing that he wanted to for me. I've seen it. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen services much smaller than this, with much worship, with very few words, but I've seen it. People coming up with just enough faith to say, if the word says it, I want it for myself as well. I've seen it. People coming up, they're not begging God, they're just responding in faith to what they are asking for, what they feel God is calling them to. And in that response of simple faith, God changes everything in their lives. In Jesus' name, the keys can come. It's like Hannah in the Bible. She was so broken in prayer. She was so desperate in prayer that not even the priest recognized that level of brokenness. The priest was saying, "Are you drunk, woman?" She's saying, "I'm broken. I'm praying. I'm hurting." You know what that tells me? In all his experience, he's never seen brokenness like that before. But Hannah's coming before the king in prayer, and she's saying, "God, I need a child. I'll give him back to you. I'm asking for a child, broken, completely broken." And in her prayer, she said, "God, remember my prayers. Remember my prayers." In a few short verses later, God gave her that child. Why? The word said it. He remembered her prayers. You have the ability to change things with your prayer. But so many people get caught up in the, "Man, what is prayer? I don't know how to, I don't get it." Just pray. Just speak to God like a friend, closer than a brother, like he's standing right in front of you. I promise you. Just pray. Open up your lips and pray. And God will change some things. He'll begin to speak to you in your heart. In Jesus' name. Matthew 14 and 25. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.'" Other translations saying they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. They were terrified. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And Jesus said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." You see, the disciples were terrified in the middle of the storm. It was not just a storm. They saw a figure. They thought it was a ghost or something. They couldn't recognize him with their eyes. It was a storm. So Jesus cried out and said, "It's me, don't be afraid." But they couldn't recognize his voice because of the storm. So Peter, in all of his wisdom, made a simple request. He said, "If you are Lord, bid me to come on the water." And Jesus replied, "Come." And that's when Peter knew without a shadow of a doubt, that's Jesus calling to me. That's Jesus. You see, Peter couldn't see him. He couldn't recognize his voice. But what Peter did recognize was the direction that God was calling him in. That's something he quickly realized. He recognized that the way Jesus speaks, he'll call you closer to him in faith. He's saying, if that person never told me to come, I know it's not God. But if that person out there is telling me to come walk on the waters, I know for a fact that's Jesus. Because that's what Jesus does. He always calls me closer in a big old step of faith. You see, Peter also took that step immediately. Why? Because Peter knew that stormy waters with God is still safer than a boat without God. If you could stand in this house. There's a lot of guests in this house today, but if you'll just give me a second, I want to talk to the church. This church is changing quicker than you thought it could. But the truth of the matter is, the same God that we were worshiping last Sunday is the same exact God who's here today. You might be questioning some things. Your mind might start to question some things. But hear me when I say this. The same God that held you in the last storm is the same God who's standing in the middle of this one. And all he's saying is just come. Take a step of faith with me. Just walk with me and watch what I can do for you. Ladies and gentlemen, if God is beckoning you to something greater, respond. Because like I said, the storm with God is better than stable ground without God. God is trying to challenge this church to another level in him. And I believe we're going to see signs and wonders beyond anything we've ever encountered. I believe that there's restoration in this house. I believe that there's salvation in this house. There's healing in this house. But what's God waiting for? He's just waiting for someone to take a step and say, hey, that's the voice of God. That's the direction God's calling me in. They're going to sing, I'm asking you. If you feel the draw, just come to these altars. Pour out your heart and watch what God does. Watch what God does. In Jesus' name. For some people in this room, the next step for you isn't balling your face on the ground. It's not jumping, it's dancing. There's some people in this room who's never lifted up their hands. Maybe the next step for you is just right here. Maybe the next step for you is just to whisper, say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Take the next step. Wherever your faith was last time, take a step a little bit further. Take a step on the waters. Watch what God does for you in Jesus' name. Let's just begin to worship right now. Let out a cry of praise. Say, God, I need you in my life. I need you now more than I ever have. God, change us. Touch this church body in the name of Jesus. I believe that at any given moment, like a cloud full of rain, so is the miraculous potential in the Spirit. I truly believe that at any given moment of every single day of our lives, like a cloud above our heads, I don't know if you can see it, but my spirit can see it. There's miracles ready to be poured out at any given moment. But it takes the church to take steps of faith in order to activate miracles. It's not up to the world. They don't know God yet. It's up to the church to take steps of faith. If you want more from God, you've got to be willing to give more to God. If you need something greater to God, from God, you need to be willing to sacrifice something greater to God. Let's begin to worship and say, God, I'm asking you to let the rain fall down. I'm asking you for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I need miracles in my own life.